Hi, my name is Anjali Truman, and today I'll be presenting Reframing Disability, Ethical Underpinnings of Community-Centered Practice, and I have no relationships to disclose. Just to give you a sort of brief outline of what is coming attractions, I'm going to give a brief background on some of the stuff that I'll be talking about, particularly the models of disability, and then I'll talk about how or why we might consider rejecting those models, and then some public health tools that we might use to rebuild a different outlook or a different reframing of disability, and then discuss my findings and conclusions. So in disability studies, there's a dominant focus on a social model of disability that focuses on the interaction between the person and the environment, where disability is the misfit between a person and the environment. And it really emphasizes the social relationships and the broader social economic context that people with impairments have. And just as a clarification or, explanation of impairment being, in this context, referring to the biological compared to, again, the social context, which is disability. So similar to gender women studies, where we would talk about sex and gender, this is talking about impairment as the biological and disability as the social. And they contrast that with an individual model, again, making that distinction to, again, highlight the social aspects. But an individual model is sometimes referred to as the medical model, and it defines disability as a property of a person, and focuses attention on the impairment of the body or mind. And we then focus emphasis on controlling, preventing, and then curing those conditions. So in 1981, the World Health Organization came up with the International Classification for Disability, for Functioning Disability and Health, also called the ICF model, which is what I'll call it. And it basically creates a biopsychosocial model, which integrates both of those two individual and social models from before into one. So you have a much more complex understanding of what functioning actually is. So it's a combination of these contextual issues and a health condition. And ultimately, the outcome that we're looking for is broader participation of people with disabilities or people with disease or disorders. So looking at that biopsychosocial model, there's a lot of critiques and strengths of both of those. But I think for this, I'm really going to focus on how, when you implement that, there's problems. And so it's really nice to have a complex model, but it's really hard when you have that complexity to design interventions. And in public health, we're really focused on trying to, how can we intervene to help promote health? How can we intervene to have a positive health outcomes? And when you have a model as complex as the one that I just showed, it's really hard to identify where we can intervene. It really universalizes the experience of disability, and so sometimes we focus too much on the individual and not necessarily on the broader social and economic circumstances of people with disabilities. So we might not consider issues with substance use. We might not consider comorbid conditions, social resources, both in terms of education and in terms of just your access to other people in our social networks. It also perpetuates this professional dominance over people with disabilities. So the ICF model has been critiqued a lot in implementation because it's coming from health professionals and it really hasn't incorporated a lot of people with disabilities into the conversations about that. So again, bringing this to a more real life example, quality of life assessments are something that we do quite often in public health. And often we use scales like QALYs and DALYs, so quality adjusted life years or disability adjusted life years. And one of the underlying assumptions of those is that disability is inherently negative, and having a disability is inherently something that's going to cause a lower quality of life. So disability itself is a problem with quality of life. If you go back to that ICF model and then think about that broader social context, it's really kind of almost in contradiction of looking at both the biological and the social, because we're automatically saying that this biological component has an influence on quality of life, but we're not taking into consideration those other social things. So another like thing that often gets reported is that when we do a quality of life assessment, we're generally going to ask a bunch of us what, you know, on a scale from 1 to 100, what do you think your quality of life would be if you had visual impairment, if you had a mental health condition, if you had cognitive disability? And you're going to ask us, and we're going to probably project a much worse quality of life than people with those conditions actually have. And this was even done, so the study that looked at this actually was with rehab professionals, so you'd, because they work with people with disabilities, you might even assume that compared to us, who may not work with people with disabilities, they're going to report a much better projection than we would, so you'd imagine that this might even be more exaggerated. So some of the implications for practice, when we have these quality of life standards that inherently devalue the quality of life of people with disabilities, unfortunately, I think it enforces this idea that disability is something to be pitied, and it, again, devalues their access to some of the health promotion activities. We often don't think about the need for people with disabilities to have, you know, positive health outcomes in the long term. So we become focused on that disease and focused on the top part without, again, the context of those issues. And so when we have a low quality of life to start with, it's more important to, in order to increase the overall health benefit or the health utility, it's easier to intervene on somebody who doesn't have a disability. And so it may make, consequently, less claims to health care for people with disabilities. So I think that the problem with both the social model and the ICF model, which is often the dominant model in public health, both of these fail because they aren't fostering collaboration between the groups, and I think that that's one of the things that we really need to start thinking about in a more productive way, and bridging knowledge sets and skill sets. I mean, we have a lot of things to bring to the table as public health professionals, but I think the disability community also has a lot of knowledge and skills that they can bring. And I think, again, it parallels a lot of other communities. A lot of times people in other groups are also experience disability, so it's not like disability is this lone thing, but it's disability in conjunction with, you know, substance use, HIV status, education, minority status, and a lot of those things go together. But not to, you know, sound like a grim reaper, we do a lot of good things, and I think that we as public health professionals, we're really good with working with clinicians. We're really good at thinking about communities in a broad way. We're good at measuring stuff. We've been doing it for a really long time, measuring differences between groups and how that interactions between different socio-demographics interact. And we're really, we have really made an effort to like engage diverse communities. And I think that by including people with disabilities, we're including, we're being more inclusive of a broader range of folks. So oftentimes, you know, with a lot of minority groups and underserved groups, they get included at a late stage. And so, again, putting people in that planning and research phase, I think, is really important. And the picture didn't come out so well. But one of the things that we talk about in public health a lot is social determinants of health. And I think rethinking disability as a social determinant rather than as a consequence of negative health attributes is a really important thing. So I think that's one of the ways that we can start to rethink how disability is constructed in our body. Health inequity is something that we've been talking about for a long time, and I think that's a really another good way to incorporate people with disabilities. The Healthy People 2020 objectives this year, or this past year in the development of those, highlight that there are a lot of differences that people with disabilities experience from the general population and how we can, again, create health equity in that regard. Again, participatory approach to quality of life assessments, I think, is a way that we can, again, incorporate a broader range of folks into quality of life assessment by thinking of disability as a minority or a cultural group, and then involving people with disabilities in community-based participatory research. Again, it's a different knowledge set than a lot of us have. So one of the examples that I use is curb cuts. Curb cuts help a lot of us. I mean, most of us ride a bike or have had a stroller or a cart that we use, and wheelchair users use them all the time. And if we had, think about that from the start, we might all benefit. I mean, a lot of us are having aging parents who may use canes or walkers, or, again, using that experience of people who already have this experience might help us think broader about health. So in conclusion, I think that in order to address some of the concerns of people with disabilities, we have to include this group as again, an underrepresented and vulnerable population, but also think of them in a context of our social demographics and really realize that disability is a very moving target. It's not like you're born into it or born out of it necessarily. We all could move into it or move out of it. And I think that as public health professionals, reframing that dominant understanding that there is this biomedical or only biomedical, and really pushing onto that social and the contextual and measuring those things might help us to think about interventions that positively impact this community. So just some acknowledgments. The Disability Studies Program at the University of Washington in particular, the Associate Director, Dennis Lang, really helped form this. Me and the other author on this, Megan Morris, who's at Northwestern, were able to connect in that way through the Disability Studies Program. And I received a travel award from the APHA Disability Section to provide. There's some resources.